Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program. Brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I do every week, I'll do it again. I'll remind you that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire, and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get started in our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you today, Lord, asking for your blessing. Lord, asking that you would use what is spoken and that it would go out across the airwaves in your power, used by the Holy Spirit to get into the hearts of the individuals that will hear it. Father, we thank you for our listeners. Thank you for those that tune in to the Joy of Discovery. Lord, maybe there's one today that's listening and they don't know Christ as Savior. Maybe something that will be said will you will use to open their eyes, and that today would be the day of salvation for them. Maybe one of our listeners, Lord, is going through a difficult time, and there's a lot of weight on them right now. And if that be the case, might they be comforted and encouraged today. Lord, might they cling to you in the midst of the storm. So, Father, today we'll commit this to you and pray your blessing on it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. Just a couple reminders. First of all, our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com. claysburgbiblechurch.com will get you plugged into all of our studies. As a matter of fact, there are notes there that you can print out and use if you desire them. There are also MP3 files of all of our studies. The entire Revelation study is on there. We're currently in a study on Wednesday nights of the book of Romans. That's all there. Sunday mornings, we're currently in a study of the book of Ephesians. That is all on there. So all of that is resources for you to take and to use however you desire to do so. And if you can use it and you get anything out of it, I say this, to God be the glory. It's all because of him. One other thing I wanted to tell you, that on Thursday nights we have a prophecy class here at the church going on. Started back January 16th. It's taught by Brother Dale Chamberlain. And that's open for anybody. Starts at 6 o'clock on Thursday evenings, runs to about 8 o'clock. Do about a 40-minute session. Take a little break for refreshments and then go another session. So come in at 6, usually be done by 8 o'clock. And everybody's invited. So if you want to come on out, you come on out. The first class, I'm doing this message right after we had the first class, but the first class, I think we had 20, maybe around 25 people that showed up, and the weather wasn't that great. So if you want to come on out, you come on out, and we'd be glad to have you for that. Okay, today, open your Bible, if you would. Get to open up to Revelation chapter 3. We are coming back to the letter to the Church of Philadelphia for the third time. We've divided this letter into three messages, and I'm going to give you a quick review before we get to where we're going in our study today. Last week, we looked at the open door that was set before the believers at Philadelphia. It was an open door of evangelism, and it was open to them because they had been faithful in their lives to the Word of God and stood for the name of Jesus Christ. Their faithful walk was then honored by God with this open door. The church was small in number, but they were deep in spirituality. The church sat on a crossroads, a very important highway, so to speak, that connected this area with the rest of the world. And so there were a lot of travelers. It was a very strategic location for the church. And so there in the middle of that crossroads and being under the persecution that came with their stand, God had put an open door before them. Verse 8 says this. He says, I know thy works, Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept thy word, kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So their works are at the end of that, that they have kept the word of the Lord, and they had not denied the name of Jesus Christ. It tells us that there was some persecution in there. But because of their works, the open door was set before them. Here's the application we made with that last week. We were able to see that if we desire to see God open doors and to work within our lives, that what we need to first of all show him is that we are committed. The biblical illustration which we looked at last week was when Israel crossed the Jordan River under the leadership of Joshua. And it was required by God that before he would stop the water, the priests would need to step off the bank. Then they would need the faith to pass through the walls of water without being able to see the hand which held them back. So whenever they stepped off, when they put their feet in the water, then God held the water back. It took that initial commitment to get that opening in the water. And I say this, that in our lives, it takes a commitment, God, to see the commitment in our lives before the open doors come. So if we desire to see God at work and work his power in our lives, we must be willing to show him that we're committed to following him. God moves when we're committed and devoted. When he opens the doors, we also must walk by faith through the situations. Too many believers stand before the open door and they're fearful to proceed. They wonder, well, if I step through here, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? How are these people going to respond? How's this individual going to respond? And so on and so forth. And so they stand and they look through the open door, but they don't proceed. We need to, when God opens the door, we got to remember it won't be open forever. The window of opportunity may be very small, and so we got to go through the door. And we also talked about the persecution which these believers were exposed to, and talked about how we too can expect resistance, spiritual resistance, whenever we take a stand for God. Let us not forget that the opposition often comes from our own families because they're the most difficult to stand up against. You know, it's a whole lot easier to take a stand against a stranger than it is to take a stand against your own son or daughter or wife or husband or mom or dad or whatever it might be. So a lot of times the opposition that comes, and it's sad to say this, but it comes from our own family. And I know people like that right now. I know people that their greatest opposition comes from their own family because of the stand that they have taken for Jesus Christ. Watch, if you would, Revelation 3:9 now. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. These were the ones that were persecuting them, by the way, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. We talked about this last week, but I want to remind you that God never promised to them that he would remove the opposition, but he would eventually bring the opposition to justice. He would, but it was no promise to remove it. There would be a day when the opposition would bow the knee to Jesus Christ. So the believers at Philadelphia were not to seek vengeance on the opposition, but they were to let that up to God. Romans 12:17-21, I read them for you last week. I'll read them again. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So it's not ours to seek vengeance. It is not ours to get even. God will take care of all of that. We are to show kindness. We are to show love. We are to live as Jesus Christ did while he was on the face of the earth. And he was as a lamb led to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. That's the way we need to be as we face the opposition. This brings us to where we are today, the promise. Watch 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Before we get into the promise made to this church, I need to remind you that this promise is for the church of Jesus Christ. In other words, it applies to every one of us who are saved. Every one of us. Remember, these seven churches are, as a whole, symbolic of the complete church. Seven is the number of completion and perfection. So this is, these churches, every one of these letters, everything that is said is applicable to our lives, and so is this promise also right here. That's very significant. In this verse, Jesus promises to this church that because they have kept the word of his patience, he will keep them from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Several questions which we need to consider here in order to understand this verse. Number one is this: what is the time period Jesus is speaking of here? In other words, what is the time of testing which will come upon all the world? This is without a doubt the tribulation period. The tribulation period will last 7 years, but the great tribulation will last 3.5. So you will have, the world will have tribulation for 3.5, and they will have great tribulation for the last 3.5. Revelation 13, 1-8, John says this: and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seed and great authority. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell on the earth. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, over the entire world. You got to understand, the Antichrist's kingdom, the kingdom of the Antichrist, will be a global kingdom. It'll be a global kingdom. That's why it says here in verse 7 of Revelation 13, power was given him over all kindreds, over all tongues, over all nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of the Antichrist is a worldwide kingdom. So when Jesus references a period of time when all that live on the earth will be tried, that is a time period. This is the time period which he's talking about. He's talking about the tribulation period. That's when the world is going to be tried. Okay? Now, let me read for you what Jesus said concerning this time in Matthew. Matthew 24, 7 through 10, and then 15 through 21. Listen to the verses. He says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Birth pains is what it is. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Stand in a holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them that which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. this tribulation period will be the worst time that has ever come upon the face of the earth. Even worse than the flood of Noah's day. In the flood of Noah's day, it's believed that there were somewhere around 8 to 10 billion people that were alive. Out of all those people, eight people survived. That was it. Eight people. Noah and his wife and his kids and their wives, that was it. They got on the ark. Everybody else perished. Everybody else perished. That's devastating. Jesus said the tribulation will be far worse than that. It'll be far worse than that. Worse than the flood of Noah's day. Worse than anything else that you and I can ever begin to recall throughout all of history. But according to what Jesus says right here to the church at Philadelphia in verse 10, the church will not go through the tribulation period. 3:10 again. But thou hast kept the word of my patience. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Notice it doesn't say I will keep thee in the hour, but it says I will keep thee from the hour. The word from means out of, out from. The church will be raptured away before the tribulation period. It'll be raptured away. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Those words mean snatched out or snatched away. Remain shall be caught up, snatched away, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The church will be snatched away before the tribulation period ever starts. Before the tribulation period ever starts, the church will be raptured, snatched away. But it's possible. It is possible that we could see a lot of the stage get set before that rapture ever takes place. Before. Here's what you got to understand about the rapture. It's imminent. It's imminent. This is going to catch you off guard a little bit, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it for what it is. It's a signless event. And by a signless event, I mean this, that there is no sign, there's nothing that has to happen before the rapture can happen. Nothing. Nothing at all. It can happen at any time. So, there's it could happen today, and if it happens today, things that are that'll come together for the tribulation will begin to come together, and that'll happen. So the whole thing is we could be out of here today, or God could let the church here write up and we could see more of the stage get set for the tribulation period. There are signs of the tribulation, but there are no signs for the rapture. None. No. So, the time period that he speaks of here that he's going to keep them from is the tribulation period. Number two that I want to bring up, if this is the rapture, then why did Jesus make the promise to this church? Because they've all died and the rapture has still not happened. I think this can be explained. Somebody would say, well, you know what? The promise was to this church, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. If that's referring to the tribulation, these people all died. So why did he make it to them? I think that we can explain that in Mark 13:32-33. Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man but the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Jesus did not know the day, and so he made a promise to the church of Philadelphia, and it's also a promise to us today that if the rapture happens, or I should say this, if the tribulation is scheduled to happen, to begin in our lives, we'll be kept from that because we'll be raptured away before that. Question number three, when will this happen? The tribulation will start following the rapture of the church. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 8, very interesting. Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means. He's writing to a church, that the church at Thessalonica, and persecution had become so bad that they thought they had gotten left behind. And in verse 3, he says this of chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, a son of perdition. In other words, there'll be an apostasy, and also the Antichrist has to come on a scene. That will mark the beginning of the tribulation period. We won't see him. There will be I think we're seeing the apostasy today. Verse 4. Who opposeth, speaking of the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. In other words, there's something that is keeping the Antichrist from coming on the scene. There's something that is preventing Satan from bringing about his masterpiece. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The word let there is the word restrain. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So that the restrainer is a person. Let me read that again. Only for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, he who now restrains, will restrain until he be taken out of the way. The restrainer is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in the church. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. When the church is gone, the restraints will be lifted from the demonic world. Satan will be free to manifest and to bring about his masterpiece, the Antichrist. Question number four concerning what Jesus said to this church. Why is this promise based upon the fact that they had kept the word of his patience? Watch verse 10 again. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Why is it based on that? I think the reference is to true believers. The word patience means endurance. Two of the marks of a true believer is the person who will walk in obedience to the word and then endure in their faith no matter the circumstances. No matter the circumstances. 1 John 2, 3, 4, and 5 says, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. Obedience is a sign of salvation. Okay, so here, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, that's obedience, kept the word of my patience, kept the word of my endurance, Matthew 10, 21 and 22, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the child shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now listen, we're not saved by works, but our works will manifest themselves, I believe, through endurance. In the midst of the difficulties. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. There again, that endurance. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Okay, because he'd be an apostate. So the whole point is this. The whole point is this, that this promise is based upon the fact that they had kept the word of his patience, which was proof that they were true believers. True believers. There are a lot of people that profess to know Christ as Savior, but they don't. It is just It is a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. And so there is no endurance, there is no perseverance there, so to speak. When we know Christ as Savior, when an individual has true saving faith, with that saving faith comes endurance. With that saving faith comes strength, because whenever we are truly saved, we are filled with the Spirit. We are sealed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives within us. He gives us the strength and He gives us the endurance to be able to endure whatever it is that we come in contact with. Let me get you down to a conclusion, if I could. The church will not go through the tribulation, but people who are not saved will. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. If you're not saved and the rapture happens, you're going to have one of the worst, most difficult times that you can ever imagine in your life. You will be plunged into the tribulation period. You will be plunged into it. It will start off in a peaceful way as the Antichrist comes on the scene to offer a peace treaty to the nation of Israel. He will be a worldwide leader, ruler, dictator. But it won't be very long before God will take and He will begin to work and do everything He can to confuse the evil. And He will bring about wars and famines and death and pestilence, and a fourth of the world's population will die, and then a third of the world's population will be killed, and that takes it over to over half. And so it'll be the most devastating time ever to come on the face of the earth. You need Jesus Christ in your life. That's the answer. He's the only escape from the tribulation period. I'm out of time. I want to thank you today for joining us on the Joy of Discovery. And I'll remind you again that if you would ever desire a CD, all you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.